13. First Samuel 18, we're going to be looking at the first four verses right there. And I'll start reading. Verse 1, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I ask your blessing, Father, upon the service tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit, Lord, and use me. I pray that you meet the needs that are here. Lord, again, I think of the awesome responsibility that it is to stand behind here and, Lord, and preach your word. And, Lord, I certainly pray for your help. I pray that, again, that this would be a help, and it would help us to, again, to leave here drawing closer to you. And, Lord, I certainly do pray if there's anyone here who's not saved, Lord, that even tonight they would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Please bless, Lord. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let me go ahead and get this cordless mic ready for myself real quick. All right. This is perhaps the best known friendship in the Bible, that of David and Jonathan. It certainly is a great example of what true friendship is. It is just one of those beautiful stories in the Bible that you come across, and it's one of those things that grabs you when you look at the relationship between these two men. And Jonathan became David's friend. This friendship began after David had defeated Goliath. No doubt, even by how we see how verse 1 comes about, Jonathan would have been there when David is basically coming to King Saul with the head of Goliath. He's there. And at that time, of course, no doubt Jonathan had such admiration and respect for David. I mean, right as of that moment, he was the deliverer of Israel. I mean, God used him to deliver Israel from the Philistines. Nobody was willing to fight Goliath. And all of a sudden, Jonathan, no doubt, is older than David, probably not much older, but he's older than David. And he was there listening to the words, to the story of David and his admiration and his respect. And at the same time, God is knitting this friendship together. You see, the Lord knows David is actually in for a battle that he has no idea is coming. And he's going to need a friend. He is getting ready to take on King Saul, and he doesn't really know it yet. And this friendship is going to be critical to what he's getting ready to face. The Lord is great at providing us with true friends to help us during very difficult and hard times. Many times we have trials in life that are very large, and the Lord sends someone to be a help. The Lord puts somebody in your life to be a help, to be the encouragement, to be what you need to be. And that's how you're going to see God use this friendship between David and Jonathan. I remember when we arrived in PNG, I can still remember the sinking feeling in my gut as we landed there on that island. And just the unknown, the you know, looking at my wife's face and my children's face and you know, just beginning the comprehension of what's getting ready to take place in our life as we arrive in PNG. And then, of course, we had realized immediately different struggles we were going to go through that we weren't ready for, from the no power and no water. And the Lord had somebody ready, though. Really, I can think of two men right at that time, but there's this one in particular that throughout the years the Lord used time and time again.
And there's two different men I'm going to talk about at two different times. The first is a man, you hear me refer to him often, named Pius. And he became just a dear, close friend of mine. You know, he was there when we arrived and we got down to the place that we were staying. And I met him on the survey trip. He was part of the initial group of that little mission work that was already meeting. He already came to know Christ before I arrived from the family member that had gotten saved on the main island of New Guinea and came back and led a small group of people to the Lord. That was that initial mission group, and he was part of that. And he was there with seeing the shock that we were in when we arrived. And you can tell the Lord had given him a heart for us immediately. I still remember looking at the guy and thinking of his feet. Their feet in New Guinea are not like our feet. I still remember that with Pius. He had those big, fat feet. I'm like, wow, that is different. And when he would get up to lead songs, he didn't wear any shoes. He just had those bare feet out there, and that was it. But the Lord had given him a heart for us. He happened to drive a supply truck that would go up to Cavian and bring things down. And he knew the first few months, and he was always coming over asking if we needed anything, how are you doing, as we were struggling the first few months. And he certainly had recognized that. And we're from two different worlds. This is a guy, he even grew up in a village called Willow, which was another 4 hours south, much more remote than even the Namatanai area that we are at. And yet, even though we're from two different worlds, two completely different backgrounds, the Lord was using in my life at key times to be the encouragement that I needed. I remember one of the most special times we had. It took forever for our container to arrive. We had a 20-foot container that had shipped to New Guinea, and we had trouble getting it released through customs. The Lord had allowed that thing to be held up for several months, so we were there without our things for several months. And finally, it got cleared. And he had made arrangements so I wouldn't have to pay for it, to work out with his boss that whenever he didn't have a full truck, he would go to my container himself, pack it, and bring the stuff down. And well, the first couple of times, I think if his boss knew what he did, he would have been fired. He basically threw in a couple of bags of rice and then packed it with our stuff out of that container. And the very first load, I still remember Pius was there for this. Before we left, we were living at the house over here by this church and just right around the corner over here. And we were selling things and to get ready to head to New Guinea. And I was selling a giant Tweety bird. It was something that was won at Cedar Point years ago. And it was Heather's. Heather is the oldest of my daughters. When I was selling this, Heather's about 8 years old when I'm selling this. And so we're having the garage sale thing, and a little neighbor boy came over to buy Tweety Bird, and so he's standing there buying it, and that's when Heather grabbed me and said, "Can I talk to you right now?" And yes, so I said, "Hold up." And I went to the girl's room, and Heather just grabbed me, hugged me, and she's just crying. And she said, "Please don't sell Tweety. Please don't sell Tweety." And, of course, he did not get sold that day. I went and told the little boy, "I'm sorry, Tweety's no longer for sale." And so now back to the container arriving in New Guinea. And Pius had seen the different things that we were going through from not only myself, of course, my wife and my children and my daughters. And he knew it was different for us to take a bath out of a bucket every day, that wasn't what we were expecting when we arrived in PNG. And so when he gets out, the very first thing that he took out, he really didn't know how special it was. The very first item that he brought down in this truck was Tweety Bird. That was the first thing. And I still remember when Heather saw that, man, she ran, took off to that truck, grabbed Tweety Bird, came running back in the house and just went to the room. And it was one of those anchors from the States. You know, it was one of those things that represented her life here at the time. And man, I appreciated Pew so much. I mean, he had saw what that had meant as well at that time. I remember when our friendship continued throughout, there was times when I was going through difficult times, the Lord would certainly put it on Pius's heart, and he would show up and ask if I simply needed to talk. And when I had made the phone call to Pastor Roach in 2014, the initial call that I believe the Lord was leading us out of PNG, but I wasn't certain. I mean, I still had no idea that in just a few years I would be out of the country. I didn't see that time frame at all at that time, but I clearly had the nudge on my heart since the October prior to that, that the Lord was going to be moving us on from PNG. And so I called, and of course we had that conversation take place. You know, I called him up, let him know what was going on, and then, you know, he was silent for a few seconds and said, "You know why I wanted you to call me?" And again, you heard the story. I didn't know that he wanted me to call him. And then that's when he said, "You know, I'm going to be retiring and stepping down. I want the next pastor in place." And he went on the whole thing how the first time they met, they brought my name up. He said, "No, I'm not calling him off the field." They brought up the next week, and he had agreed, but he waited a week and was praying that the Lord would lay it upon my heart, that I would tell him that the Lord was leading us out of PNG, which is exactly what the Lord did. Well, as I'm talking with him on the phone, and I realized what has just transpired, I knew at that moment I was leaving, and much sooner than I ever anticipated. At that time, I'm thinking, man, in 2 to 3 years, I'm out of here. And I'm outside, and I'm underneath my house now talking. I'm walking while I'm talking to Pastor Roach. And I look up, and Pius had showed up. I didn't know that. He had showed up. Pouring rain outside. I mean, it's the jungle. When it rains, it's not this little drizzly stuff. It pours. And my kids literally would wash their hair in the rain. It would rain so hard. And I'm talking with him, and then I look over, and Pius had showed up at the house. And he wasn't coming in. He had just figured out what my favorite tree was. And he was planting it at the corners of my fence. And it's just pouring rain. And I just start crying. And of course, I thought over the years of how important his friendship was. And it's always amazing how in times when you're going to go through things, the Lord has somebody there. We see that here with David and Jonathan. We see in the first verse here, we're going to break this down in a nice little outline, the entering into this friendship, the expression of it, in the next couple of verses, and then the example that we have in friendship. But we see that the Bible tells us here in the first verse that their soul was knit together. This was a close friendship. This was, again, it's the most, probably the most popular friendship that we have in the Word of God is David and Jonathan. The Lord knowing what David was going to need. Both men had very different backgrounds. All right, they did have the same culture, but still very different backgrounds, with Jonathan coming up in Saul's house and David coming up in Jesse's house. The Lord had given David favor with Jonathan. I believe this is key. I believe the Lord's blessing you with favor at different times before different people is very important. Look over at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22 and verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. You know, one thing that that's one thing great about being in God's hand and you know, putting your life in His hand and trusting Him and learning to walk with God is there's so many benefits of that. You know, we have people today that are absolutely seeking silver and gold. Christians. They're making their life all about it. It's almost ludicrous. When you see the truths of the Bible and the warnings of the Word of God over and over, they are taking, it's like they want to play in a mud pit instead of, as I use this analogy before, playing in a mud pit instead of going to Disney World. The blessings that there is in simply putting God first and trusting Him. One of the things He does is what we see here in Proverbs 22:1. And that is Him giving you favor with different people at different times. A loving favor. As I was going through this, I thought at different times in my own life when the Lord did that. I think when I was at Continental, and I was an assistant pastor here, and yet I'm working at Continental, and it wasn't easy at times juggling those few things. And especially with, I had the rule in place, you know, at the beginning, I'm not going to miss a church service over this. And And so during the job interview, the primary boss I had was a man named Tim Pence. We still stay in contact to this day. He now lives in the lower 48, lives in Dallas now. And the Lord had immediately said, yeah, I have no problem with that. I had did several job interviews up to that point across the board with different types of work. It was just one of the first places where the guy had no trouble with anything that I would need to do for ministry. So I had I knew I was going to take the job right away. He said, I understand you're an assistant pastor, and I get that, and I will work with you with that. You won't have to be here for church and other events. And the Lord gave me favor in his sight. And there was time I was going to need that. We had a brand new general manager come in, and we had a mandatory meeting every Friday. And this guy was, I remember his name was Espinoza, and he could not stand the fact that I never worked on Sundays, was never there on a Wednesday evening, and he had this big campaign come up over the weekend. I'm at the very end, all the salespeople there, I'm at the very end of the table. He's at the opposite end of the table. I'm sitting at the end, he's sitting at the end. And then he made a point while he's looking at me and pointing at me. He said, and everyone will work both days this week. I didn't say anything. And I got up to left. I just went by Tim, and I said, you know, I'm done here now. And he goes, you're not. Don't worry about it. And then him and another boss walked into his office and said, we will resign if he is working. See, that was just God giving me favor in their sight because I would need it. Because I would need it. I would rather have God's hand working through the different circumstances in my life than me disobeying Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 and trying to trust in my own way. The Lord knew David was going to need this friendship with Jonathan. It was going to be critical to what he was getting ready to face. Again, many times the Lord puts people on our path who need a friend. Many times you're the Jonathan, you're not the David. You're the one that has to be the friend to that other person. You're the one that has to be the encourager. Jonathan or David did not know when they became friends how important their friendship would be. Something all orchestrated by the hand of God. Verses 2 through 4, we see their soul is knit together in verse 1. 2 through 4, we see the expression of this friendship, and it really is incredible. Let's go back there and read that. Head back to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Saul took him that day, referring to David, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. When you see Jonathan's expression of his friendship to David, it really is incredible. This is the king's son. This is the heir to the throne. This is next in line to lead the nation of Israel. This friendship for Jonathan was in no way self-serving. It was absolutely self-sacrificing. A selfish person will never have true friends. Proverbs 18:24 says, somebody quote that for me. I can't even quote it. No, a man who has friends must show himself friendly. Am I quoting that wrong? It is. Let me get there and read this thing here. Oh, I'm in Psalms. No wonder that's not the right thing. Let's get over the Proverbs right here. I'll just read here real quick. Just give me a sec. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Selfishness is not going to lead you to that. Yet the reality is the majority of friendships, they are based on what somebody else can do for you. You know, the prodigal son found that out in Luke chapter 15. his friendship was based on what that person could do for him. His friendships he had were based on what the others could do. He took his, you know, all the inheritance and he headed out. And, you know, he is just living it up and he has all these friends around him. Of course, they weren't true friends because as soon as his ability to support them or provide the good time was gone, they were out of there. But a true friendship is one that is not self-serving. It is self-sacrificing. And then you begin to see true friendship in your life. Jonathan goes to David here. He gives him his robe, his sword, his garments, his bow. Jonathan had saw that David was a man who lived a true life of faith in God. He realized that. Remember, Jonathan is not, he's proven in battle himself. He's already taken on the garrison with the Philistines. It's already happened. This isn't a novice. But this is a man what he recognized in David, what he just witnessed this young man do when he took on Goliath, changed Jonathan. And Jonathan knew, this is a man that I want to be around. This is a man that has my respect. This was a man that he recognized. Listen, God's hand is on David. Boy, he strips himself of his robe, his sword, his bow, and he gives it to David. You know, first off, let me cover this as I'm getting into that. It's so important who you select, who your friends are. We've heard the saying, show me who your friends are and I'll show you who you are or what you will become. Boy, is that true. That is so true. I mean, I can think back. I mean, that's true as adults. That's true as teenagers. You know, I stress with my kids the importance of friendship. Now, it was fairly easy when they were at home. It was. Obviously, being Christian parents and following biblical guidelines, it was never just a free-for-all for our kids with friends. That was never going to happen when they were in our house. But I also knew the day would come when they're out of my house. When it's no longer where I have that direct sight. I have that direct influence. And so it was so important to instill within them before they ever left my house, one, of course, that they had their own walk with God, that they wanted to serve Him for the right reason. And I would drill within them the importance of finding the people that want to serve God, and that's who you want to be around. Because the other group will certainly pull you away. I remember being in the youth group as a teenager, and as I'm now taking this serious, when I'm 15, 16 years old and really wanting my life to be all about God and trying to figure out what all that means and trying to grow in the faith at this time and then having the confusion because, again, you've heard me say it before, we had 25 to 30-some teenagers in our youth group and there just didn't seem to be any of them that really took it serious. That was just, you know, listen, life is all about God. You know, they didn't have that. They might go on to have a little revival and it might last for like 1 week. And then it would be something back to whatever. You know, as long as the winds of revival were blowing, boy, they were good to go. But let that, again, die down and again, back to dead in the water. And of course, I began to realize the importance of that friendship. I had three people that I really liked to be around. One was the pastor's son, and the other were two cousins of mine. And it wasn't too long before I realized my cousins really didn't want to have anything to do with the Lord. And I still remember how much that hurt because we really enjoyed being around each other. We enjoyed each other's company, you know, immensely. Before I was serving, it was also the group I was always getting in trouble with beforehand. But I realized I had to, if I'm going to grow in my faith, that I had to sever that. Because it was, when I was still around them, the amount of time that I was spending, I knew it wasn't helping my faith. I still had flesh, and it was still very powerful. And then I thought, well, I had the pastor's son. His name was Rick. I was 1 year older than him. But then I began to see in his sophomore year and my junior year in high school, he was changed. I saw the world grabbing him. Especially as he got his car and his freedom. You know, I began to notice a change. And I realized, boy, we're heading different directions right now. And making that call, that decision to say, nope, I've got to limit this. Or it's going to pull me down. It's so important who you choose, who your friends are, that you are truly seeking those who want to do right. So select those who desire to serve God. Jonathan gave these things to David, and these were things of great importance to him. He is giving him his sword. I mean, this is the sword that he used when he took on the garrison with the Philistines. I mean, this is something that's precious to him. This is something that he would look at. He could even think in his own life how God had used him for this great deliverance that had taken place. And he's going to David, and he said, listen, my sword and my bow, they're yours. Could you imagine how humbling this was for David? It wasn't self-serving. This was David choosing to be around a man. One, he knew God's hand was on him. He knew this was a man that when he saw this deliverance and this young man and the faith that he demonstrated, I mean, he was standing there on the sidelines as he watched David, who wasn't trembling, who listened to the Goliath speak out and tell David that he was going to rip his head off and feed him to the fowl of the air. And he saw David as David got right back in his face and said, you got this thing wrong. I'm going to rip your head off and feed your body to the fowls of the air. And he saw that battle over within seconds. And he knew it's a man of faith. That's who I want to be around. His actions were declaring by what he gave David that Jonathan also recognized that David would be king in his place. David would be king in his place. Jonathan's walk with God was more important to him than his position. You just don't see that a whole lot anymore. Jonathan's walk with God and the desire to be close to this man, he had recognized it, was more important to him than his position. Again, this shows one on Jonathan's part, on the closeness of Jonathan's walk with God. That with Jonathan, again, it was not a game to him. It was a selfless love. And I believe a love like this, as we see them, we could tie this in. There's a lot here we could tie in going into 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and different key passages of what God's love looks like. This man is demonstrating it. Again, little do they know how important this relationship is going to be in the time to come. In the times to come. And then lastly, let me finish up with this, with the example of the friendship. David learned through this friendship that God controls his steps. God puts the right people, God was putting the right people in his life. And God certainly does that for us. The Lord does the same thing with us. He will put the right people in your life. He'll find those when you need him. As you're trying to serve God and seek him, and there's all at different times that we need different key relationships in our life. And the Lord, listen, he knows right where you're at. I think of this week as you got the prayer chain down of Jacob in New Guinea. I don't know if Michael Forbes, is he here right now? Michael and Paul Lowe. Brother Paul, you're right. Do you remember Jacob at the Kai Barton, if you remember him or not? I don't know if Pastor does. You actually met him too when you were there. He worked, you know, where our house was, that little Kai, right in front of our, where we stayed right there. That was where he had worked. And Jacob was also one of those men where, you know, he had, different than Pius, Jacob was a man who actually had a lot of, he was not a bush mechanic, but he knew some bush, electricity, different things. He was schooled in a couple different things in his background. And whenever I had a problem with anything going wrong with the house, my generator breaking down, the guy was always there. He was going to be, I could call him at any time. I could, and he would show up. He'd be there. He put down whatever he was doing, and he would be there. Without fail, he would be there. you know, if he was in the middle of his dinner, whatever was going on, he was going to be there. If he found out that, you know, my generator was down, I wouldn't have to call him, he would be right there and trying to figure out what was going on. And he did that faithfully. I mean, he was, from the very beginning, he was there, you know, the entire time that I was there. And he was one of those men when it comes to, at the end of a lot of the Apostle Paul's epistles, he lists those fellow helpers, you know, that were right there, that were key. You know, if I was thinking back in the time of New Guinea, of course, probably the first name there that I would mention if I was writing down, if I want to say thanks to, would be Pew. But then right behind him would be Pew. He was sort of the glue of that work there, of the work in Nematanai. He wasn't the pastor. But the work in Nematanai had its struggles. He had to work in Sohon and Kudu. And this work was, well, there's complications with that, how all this thing began before I got there. But he was sort of the glue of it. And anyhow, it's amazing how, again, the Lord puts the right people in your steps and in your life that you're going to need. And I think in our own life, of course, the best friend that God puts in our life in a very real way, not an abstract way, is the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of times because we don't see him. You know, he's not physically right there. You know, you can't see him in your car when you're driving. You don't have that physical presence. And so because we walk so little by faith and so much by sight, he becomes more abstract in our life each and every day. But yet he is still the closest friend you will have, will be the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a man who demonstrated, and we can see different things with Jonathan and David. You know, there's so many parallels here that we could get into, and Jesus Christ and his salvation for us. I mean, I think of, you know, especially with Jonathan and David, I mean, I think of Jonathan going and presenting all that he had to David, things that were precious to him. I think in our own life of what is it that's precious to us that we need to see for our deliverer. Lord, this is all yours. Whatever I was seeking, whatever I had coming, doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter anymore. I see the greatness of your deliverance. I recognize you are the Son of God. The life is about you. He is the best friend the world, this country doesn't know it. They have an absolute hatred, a strong percentage and element of our nation for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's gotten to a point of a hatred for him. Little do they know he is the best friend they have. He is the one that's really only telling them the truth. He's not just willing to coddle and make everything all right because he knows one day of the judgment that is coming. He was the one who was willing, in spite of the mockery, in spite of the constant rebellion, who was willing to die in their place. And listen, if he was willing to die for us, those of us who have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, think back to Romans chapter 8. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? This is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. This is a friend who, when you're getting off track, who comes to you and with conviction and says, listen to me. You're wrong here. Get this right. This is the one when you're down and you're out and the stresses and the different trials of life have you up at night where you can just simply get on your knees and go to him and have a peace that passes understanding. He's the one that maybe there's struggles going on in the marriage and nobody knows about. You can't get your spouse to come to the pastor. Boy, get on your knees and go to him right now. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Again, the Lord has died for us, showing how much he loves us. He is our deliverer. He is the one who defeated our greatest enemy when we had no hope of defeating it. We should come to him with everything we have. It's yours. It's yours. Listen, I know what I was seeking. I know what I thought I had coming to me. But this is yours now. It's all about you. what can I do to serve you? I think we have the pattern there with Jonathan and David. I think it's something that we need to follow. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Perhaps you're here tonight and you're not certain that heaven is your home. You don't know what would happen to you if you were to die right now. Maybe you've been contemplating it. I don't know. You say, Pastor McGovern, listen, I haven't put my hand up before, but it has been bothering me, and I need you to pray for me about it. I'm not certain that I'm truly saved, that I know Christ. If that is you, would you put your hand up for me where I can pray for you? See some small hands going up. If you did put your hand up, I did not see it. Would you put it up just a little higher? All right, Christian, if the Lord worked on your heart, why don't you come and pray? Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that you bless this time of invitation. Please work in hearts and minds, Lord. I love you. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Page 260. Let's all